I am thankful unto God that we live in the days of the new covenant. Now, I've mentioned some things about this in times past, but what I mean by the new covenant is that God has a different agreement with us today, as opposed to the kind of agreement that he had with people, say, you know, back in the Old Testament days, under the law of Moses. And people sometimes don't understand how just blessed we are today to live under the new covenant, but if you consider some of the things that they did back then, and consider what we do today, you see that we are very much more blessed. Even though there are some today that believe that we should still live under various Old Testament regulations and laws, for those who understand that we have a new covenant, a new way, we know, for example, that, you know, if come Saturday the boss calls us up and we're in need of work, why, you know, we can go to work that day. Because we're not beholden to the Old Testament law of the Sabbath. And this new agreement that God has made with us has freed us from many of the things that the law before had stipulated and the things that had prepared people to come to Jesus Christ, but which are not included in that new covenant. I want to go over now to Hebrews chapter 8 and discuss a little bit with you here. In Hebrews chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, we really have the whole point of the book of Hebrews, and in chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10, he talks about how that the new law, the law that we live under today, the law of Christ, Galatians 6, verse 2, that law is so much better than anything that they had back then. And this law that we have today, this new law of Jesus Christ, frees us from many of the handwriting of ordinances which told us don't do this and don't do that. So he says, the things which we have spoken, this is the summarization of what we have been talking about. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man, that is Jesus, have somewhat also to offer. Now that's one of the things that we've been freed from, in addition to, like, say, the Sabbath law, the rite of circumcision. You know, whether somebody is circumcised or not nowadays under the new covenant or new agreement we have with God is of no significance. God doesn't have a certain nation where he says, well, these are my people, and this other nation, well, these are not my people. Therefore, when it comes to, say, kings, for example, God doesn't set up a particular person and say, well, this will be your king to lead you in spiritual matters because this is my special people. Instead, all of us in the church, no matter what nation we are in, are all God's special people. And that is a great blessing, isn't it? That means that I can become a Christian without living, say, in the Middle East. I can live and die as a Christian and expect to receive the blessed home of heaven, even if I am, yellow, black, white, no matter what, no matter what kind of culture I'm from. I simply am not beholden to all the things they had back in the Old Testament days, like the kings. And another thing is the sacrifices. Jesus is our sacrifice. It says here in verse 4 of Hebrews 8, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Now he's talking about the old law of Moses, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, he said, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. But now, that is, in these days, in these times of the new covenant and the new agreement that we have with Jesus Christ, now he hath ordained a more excellent ministry, by how much more he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant, that agreement with God, had been faultless, then no place should have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. That's the covenant that we're living under today. That's why we don't need things like, say, the animal sacrifices. Now you imagine that. People who don't understand the difference in the covenants, they would have to go back and look at the Old Testament laws where it says to offer this animal in sacrifice and bring this gift to the altar or temple of God and give this offering. We don't do any of that. And people who say, well, I believe you need to go back and do what it says in the Old Testament, they miss out on understanding that. We are freed from that old covenant. That's an old agreement. It was for the Jews, and it was given through Moses. We have a better sacrifice in Jesus Christ. We have a better covenant or agreement with God. And it frees us from the old system of animal sacrifices because Jesus is our sacrifice for sin for all of eternity. It frees us from the Old Testament method and ways of worshiping God. They worshiped God back then with things like incense. Remember Nadab and Abihu, which offered strange fire before the Lord, and he destroyed them, Leviticus chapter 10. Well, we don't have to worry about offering the right kind of fire and incense before God, because we just don't do those things. Those were Old Testament ways of worship. In the Old Testament, they had instrumental music in their worship, according to the commandment of David and of the seers, and how God gave instruction unto them through the prophets, as it records for us in 2 Chronicles, I think around chapter 29, verse 25. But we don't have that kind of worship anymore. We don't invent to ourselves instruments of music like David if we're going to be pleasing unto God, because he gives us a better way, a New Testament way of worshiping him, which is more spiritual, which is the singing of hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And people who try to go back to the Old Testament way of worship and say, well, I'm going to worship him with the instrument of music because that's what I find in the Old Testament, you're missing out on the fact that we're in a new covenant. We got a new agreement with God. Back then in the Old Testament days, a man had many wives. Now, can you imagine that? No wonder they had problems back then. They'd have more than one wife. And so we have a situation where God says, it's different now. We have a different agreement with God. Today, marriage, we understand, is a picture of the beautiful relationship between Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And if you're going to have polygamy, or one person married to more than one husband or wife, then that destroys the image which has been established for us in the book of Ephesians in chapters 5 and 6. So God has only authorized one man for one woman according to the original design that God laid down in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Just read Matthew chapter 19 and also the book of Ephesians. Therefore, we don't live under that Old Testament system. People say, well, I don't understand that. It seems to me that I should just do all the things that are in the Bible. Well, those things that are in the Old Testament are for our learning, for our example, but you're not under that law. If you were, you'd have fellas going out here, and like I said, they might be married to two, three, or a bunch of, 20 or 30 wives maybe. But you don't have that nowadays, because we no longer have the Old Testament practice of polygamy. It's no longer the way of God. So there are many things that have been changed, and I'm so thankful that we live under the freedom of Jesus Christ and the new covenant of Jesus Christ. Notice what he says about this covenant in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 8. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Finally, I am so grateful unto God in that he has changed our covenant or our agreement. I no longer have to keep on giving those sacrifices because Jesus forever took away my sin. Isn't that a great thought? That, there are different things God wants us to do. But the fact of the matter is that I am freed from the Old Testament way of things because it was just pointing toward Jesus. And when Jesus came, then I am freed from my sins. And therefore, in Jesus Christ, I now serve God with a better agreement, a better covenant. And in that covenant, God promises me that he'll take me home to be with Jesus forevermore. Now, if you don't have that kind of agreement with God, then you need to know the Lord. And if there's any way that we can help you to know him from the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, then we desire to study the Bible with you. Just give us a call at 487-5342. We want to do everything that we can to help this community to draw back closer to Jesus Christ and to do all those things that are pleasing in the eyes of God. Come by and see us at worship time. We worship on Sunday mornings, beginning with our Bible study at 9:30, a little bit after 10 for our morning worship, and then at 6 p.m. on Sunday night for our evening worship. At 7 p.m. on Sundays, we meet for a Bible study. Come on out any opportunity you have. Visit with us, examine our classes, and we believe that you'll find indeed a great place in which you might serve God and worship him in spirit and in truth at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. For the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, I'm Tim McHenry.